Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you very much for the opportunity to speak at this debate this evening here in the Royal Society. I'm going to talk very much about the role of innovation and research and development in delivering the strategy, so I'm going to set out some of the wider context, raise a few questions about what the R&D intensity is of this sector, talk about the role of R&D, and then present a few cases demonstrating some of the opportunities and challenge before drawing some conclusions. The first thing to say is that the maritime sector as defined, and I'll show that in a moment, is part of the wider ocean economy, which, as Sarah pointed out, was forecast by the OECD to double from $1.5 to $3 trillion a year by 2030 globally. The ocean economy consists of three vital elements. One is the ocean-based industries themselves, but is actually hugely dependent and interacts with the ocean environment and marine ecosystems. And then the whole framework of the way in which the ocean is governed and regulated at both international and at regional and national level is crucial to the whole thing. And the point is that research and development and innovation is vital to informing all three elements of this all three dimensions of the ocean economy. Now, in terms of the maritime sector as defined in the strategy, it's shown over here on the far right and is actually a subset of the broader ocean economy. But it is a very diverse sector covering sort of the five main pillars of the economy, everything from low and medium tech manufacturing through to high-tech manufacturing through to other forms of production, knowledge-based services and other services. And the maritime sector encompasses all of those dimensions. The other thing to say is that the ocean economy then is got two dimensions to it. The first is it is a sector which is explicitly defined by the environment in which it operates, the marine environment. It's impacted by the sea. Much of it is based on marine resources or draws resources from the sea, but it also impacts the ocean environment. And crucially, as this document from 2015, Reviving the Ocean Economy, produced by the Worldwide Fund for Nature, demonstrates, is that this whole economy is underpinned by a vast natural capital of marine ecosystems worth about $24 trillion, delivering direct economic benefit of about $2.5 trillion a year, 70% of which depends on the health of the ocean environment. So I think that's a very clear demonstration of the nexus of the ocean economy and the ocean environment within which it operates. The second thing is that the ocean economy is fundamentally a knowledge-based economy. We think of Captain James Cook as a sailor and an explorer, and no doubt there are revisionist historians who will place other interpretations on his contributions. But James Cook was a fellow of this National Academy of Sciences, and in modern parlance might be described as a pioneer of marine geospatial information of very high accuracy and quality. So this strategy sits within a wider context of larger UK ambitions. The Industrial Strategy, published in 2017, the 25-year environment plan, and UK's research and innovation prospectus for strategies for the R&D base in the UK. And also, there has been a lot of recent thinking about the ocean, both from the OECD, a major foresight report about R&D in the marine environment, Maritime 2050 fits in here, as well as the International Ocean Strategy, which we are expected to be published later this year. So what does Maritime 2050 say about research and development innovation? It talks a lot about innovation and indeed presents a very clear vision that this is important for moving the sector forward. And it talks in its recommendations about a number of specific areas where innovation and research are important. It has to be said, though, it's a little bit more implicit than explicit in some areas. But of the 18 recommendations, there's great emphasis on improving the ties between government, industry and academia, of thought leadership in the sector, support for maritime innovation, for making it a very attractive regime for testing autonomous systems, a maritime innovation hub based in a UK port, mapping the seabed, and creating an analogue of the Aerospace Technologies Institute. And the skills portion of the sector talks very much about bringing the role of STEM skills to the forefront. But I'd just like to reflect a little bit about the image of the sector and its R&D intensity. Is it a sector that you think of as being R&D intense? The strategy highlights that it is an innovative sector, but it might be characterised as one where there are hotspots, highlights of innovation, but that it's not universal. And might just reflect on why this might be. Some of it is historical. There has been a number of major transformative innovations which have actually not been R&D led. Containerisation is a classic example. Maybe it's an artefact of the sector's scope as defined, and that there are other parts of the ocean economy are more innovative but not quite defined within the framework here. It is a highly service-orientated sector. The service sector of the economy is not noted for its R&D intensity. Then there are a big component of it involves the leisure centre, a guest sector. Leisure sector is not identified in people's minds generally as being R&D intense. Outside expectations, shipbuilding and boat building is classified in the public accounts as low to medium tech manufacturing. A perception perhaps not highly justified. Look at the world's most advanced polar research ship being launched here at Camel Laird in Birkenhead. Self-perception. A lot of highly innovative SMEs, that's right, but again in hotspots, and they are dependent quite highly on public sources of funding to maintain their R&D intensity. Are there frontier capability demands in this sector? What is the equivalent of the Formula One racing car to the automotive sector, or the Mars rover to the aerospace sector? What is that equivalent in the maritime? So the R&D role of R&D-led innovation, and not all innovation is R&D, plays several roles within the business cycle, everything from setting the framework and tone for emerging sectors, deep sea mining being a classic example where the research here is enabling that industry to start to think about what might be needed in terms of operating, to be able to support growing sectors, marine renewables, or to enable mature industries to change and adapt and to reorientate themselves or maintain innovation for productivity, such as in the oil and gas sector. And on top of those business cycle aspects, also issues where there is consumer interest and pressure being applied, where there is a need for social license, and where there is a threat and opportunity of regulation. One only has to look at issues coming down the tracks like deep sea mining to see the importance of being able to develop the social license for such activity. All enabled where clear needs can be articulated that can actually be solved by research and where there is potential leverage for R&D investment. So, in terms of the sector, one of the major planks of the UK industrial strategy is the target for the UK to achieve 3% GDP R&D intensity across the board, 2.4% by 2027, the OECD average. How will that be achieved? Most of that R&D growth will have to come from increased business R&D investment. So what is the R&D investment of the sector now. Given that the largest increase will come from the business sector, what does that mean for the marine and maritime sector in terms of being able to import R&D from adjacent sectors, being able to develop it within the sector, and to generate the inward investment to bring R&D from outside? The Foresight of the Seas report, published last year, identified a number of structural issues, including the need for very long-term approaches and the overwhelmingly global nature of the sector. But one of the key recommendations was the need to address insufficient join-up between the diverse sectors of the marine economy around common research, infrastructure and skills needs, and secondly, to better capitalise on the UK science, technology and engineering base than is happening at the moment. I'm just going to briefly fly through a number of quick cases. First one, autonomous continuous ocean monitoring. This is being transformed by technologies which are transforming what is a dream into elements that are already a reality. But these issues, which have been science-led, continuous presence in the ocean, are actually issues that are being faced by industries in many other parts of the maritime sector, trying to deal with dirty, dull, dangerous operations and drive the costs of ship dependency out. Thought leadership in the maritime sector is talked about a lot in the strategy. Here's an example to throw out of what might be some thought leadership. What does the next generation of exploration platform look like in the ocean? Is this the equivalent of the Mars rover for the maritime sector? What is the icon of ambition, vision and commitment of the sector? Is it the super yacht or is it the next generation of deep ocean exploration platforms? Here's another example of issues where the top picture shows how we used to measure the ocean with ships. It takes 10 years to do one of these pictures, with research ships cooperating around the world. It's a one-off, delayed mode data, it takes 2 years to get the data off it. Main purpose is science, and it's project-funded. And only a handful of advanced nations can do this. To the bottom picture, which shows autonomous vehicles sitting in the ocean, collecting data, continuous presence, real-time data return, multi-purpose uses, not just science, and inclusive. Even developing countries are able to participate in this. Technology has transformed this, but we could do with some innovation in the business models, because this is not funded in a way that makes any sense. It's about to fall over at any time. So we need thinking within the research base and within government and business about the business model to be able to sustain these kind of observing systems. The maritime industry has also been supporting science in innovative ways. This is the example of the use of container ships. This is a Swire Shipping and China Navigation working with the National Oceanography Centre in this case to measure through, as a ship of opportunity, surface CO2 measurements in the ocean, recognising this is actually part of the social licence of shipping. Finally, mapping the ocean floor. This is an opportunity to create an important global digital data infrastructure. What Cook did in the 18th century, we can do today. 270 exabytes of data. To measure the ocean at 350 metres resolution at 5 kilometres depth would take one ship 1,000 years and cost $3 billion, the cost of a Mars mission. But it's scalable and it can be accelerated with autonomous technologies. The benefits in exclusive economic zones are clear, as this example from the UK Hydrographic Office, showing how navigation to the British Overseas Territory of Anguilla has been opened up by transforming measurements by modern methods. And in the deep sea, the issue here is not about the traditional uses of seabed mapping, but really about the future ocean economy and underpinning that. So, in a summary, drawing on the Foresight Future of the Seas report, important to define the common research needs across the whole ocean economy. To better understand the nature of R&D intensity in the sector, what innovation is R&D led, address what the 3% GDP R&D target spend for the UK actually means for the sector, and to have a plan for what that might mean in terms of actions, which I think involves dialogue with the research base to define what the specific needs are strategically that are researchable, and to influence the strategies of the major funders, which I think implies dialogue between UKRI and Maritime UK. To find out how to support these more infrastructural data needs, of which ocean monitoring and mapping are, and a very specific case is, I think, in terms of mapping, when the UK leaves the EU, it should join the Atlantic Ocean Research Alliance and become a partner in its own right alongside the EU, US and Canada in mapping the North Atlantic Basin. So thank you very much for your attention.